Earl and the Dog. Earl Shope and his mother took care of the new dog that had saved him from the snake. They fed him, they let him rest near the stove where he'd be warm, they took him for walks. The dog was very friendly, and Earl and his mother both loved the new dog, and the new dog loved them. Earl would take the dog out and walk around and notice, though, that the dog had a few scars on him. And Earl wondered, where did this dog come from? The dog seemed to know various tricks, and he seemed to be a smart dog. One day, Earl and the dog were out in the park, sitting down, looking at the water from the river which flowed next to the park, and the dog was sitting right next to him. And they were slightly touching, and Earl said to himself, I wonder what the story is of this dog. And suddenly, Earl could hear a voice in his head, and he knew it was the dog, and the dog was explaining what happened to him. And this is the dog story. The dog was named Ichabod, and he had lived in a village far away. And he belonged to a family with a little boy who every day took his favorite dog, Ichabod, and they went to the seashore where there was a boat, and the boy rowed across the river to a little island where he would fish. And every day, boy and Ichabod went to the boat, and the boy rowed across, and they fished. They caught some fish and brought the fish home, where his mother and father would cook it for dinner, and everybody was happy. The boy had time on his hands at night, so he taught Ichabod various tricks, how to fetch a stick, how to lie down, how to jump around in a circle, how to spell his name with his foot. And the boy had a good time with Ichabod, and Ichabod had a good time with the boy. One evening, when the boy had brought home some fish and Ichabod was sitting next to him at the fireplace getting warm, the boy's father talked to the boy about he needed to be careful on the island. The father had heard that there were wild dogs on the island and that they had begun to come out and to bite people who came on the island. Oh, said the boy, don't worry about me. I've got Ichabod. There are no wild dogs that are going to attack us. Still, said the father, be careful. You never know. Ichabod's not very big, and neither are you. Be careful with those wild dogs if you see them, and let me know. Sure, said the boy, and he didn't think any more about it. But a day or so later, when the boy and Ichabod rowed across to the island, they were walking through the path down to their favorite fishing spot, and in the path in front of them stood a dog. And the boy knew this was one of the wild dogs. But the boy thought, he's got Ichabod, and there were two of them and just one wild dog. And so the boy waved his arms, and Ichabod growled. And at first the wild dog stepped forward, but when he saw Ichabod and he saw the boy waving his arms, moving forward too, he got scared. And the dog ran away. Ha, said the boy, I knew that we'd be able to scare that wild dog away. And he and Ichabod went along down the path to their fishing spot, where they caught more fish and went home that day. The next day, they again rowed over to the island, and again they were walking down the path, but this time, about in the same place, there was the wild dog again. And this time, he had brought another wild dog. There were two wild dogs. Again, the boy wasn't concerned. He still had Ichabod, and he was bigger than a dog, and he shouted and raised his arms and flapped and made noise, and Ichabod growled. And they approached the dogs, and the two dogs became afraid, and the wild dogs ran away. Again, the boy was pleased with himself, but Ichabod thought, this is a bad trend. And although they caught more fish that day and they went back to the boat without a problem, Ichabod was constantly looking around, smelling the air, and he smelled trouble. A few days later, the boy decided to go back, and he took Ichabod along. And over the water they rowed, and they landed the boat. the boy picking up his fishing rod, and Ichabod jogging ahead. And this time they came down the path, and Ichabod kept watching, looking for the wild dogs, keeping an eye out for what they would do if the two showed up again. They came around the corner where the path split into two, and then the boy saw what Ichabod could already sense. There were wild dogs in front of them, but not one dog, not two wild dogs, 8 wild dogs. And they were arrayed around them, and they were all looking down with their ears up and their eyes fastened on the boy and Ichabod. And Ichabod realized they were not going to be able to scare away 8 dogs. And although the boy first didn't understand that, and he flapped his arms and he yelled at them, the 8 dogs, which were now spreading out in front of them, they all took a step forward, and they growled. And Ichabod growled, and he moved a little closer to the boy so they couldn't be separated. But that did not scare the wild dogs. And the leader, one with a scar over his eye, took another step forward. And Ichabod looked around, and he barked at the boy. The boy looked, and Ichabod and the boy then understood one another, and they both charged off to the left, running as fast as they could through the woods to run away from the dogs. And the wild dogs ran after them. The dogs were going through the woods, but Ichabod and the boy knew their way, and the wild dogs didn't. And pretty soon, they came to the water, to a little drop, but it was not close to their boat. And so Ichabod and the boy were standing there, looking, hoping they had lost the wild dogs, until the wild dogs broke through the forest in front of them. And again the pack of wild dogs spread out, and now they were surrounding the boy and Ichabod, and their backs were to the water, and the wild dogs knew they couldn't get away. The boy picked up sand and threw it, and the lead dog stepped back, but he did not run away, the dog with a wild scar above his eye. And then the wild dog stepped forward and growled and lowered his head. And that was the signal for the other wild dogs to lower their heads and growl and show their teeth. And with their teeth all out and sharp, and their dog had their heads down, they all took a step forward. And that's when Ichabod decided he had to do what he had to do. So he turned and he bit the boy. End of part one. Earl and the Dog, part two. Ichabod did not bite the boy hard, but he had to be sure he had the pants legs of the boy clearly in his teeth, because with that grasp on the boy's pants, Ichabod then jumped, and he pushed the boy back over the edge of the bank and into the water below. It was his only choice, Ichabod thought. There were too many wild dogs, and they were going to attack them, and they wouldn't be able to fight them off. And Ichabod doubted they would follow them over the edge into the water, so the boy and Ichabod could get away. And at least in the water, they had a chance. Down they fell, just out of reach, out of the snapping jaws of the wild dogs. And, as Ichabod expected, they stopped at the edge and looked down, even though it wasn't that far a drop to the water below. And as they fell, and Ichabod saw that they weren't going to be followed by the snapping jaws of the wild dogs, he felt pretty good about his decision. And it would have all gone fine, but the boy landed poorly, and he hit his head, and he was out like a light. So Ichabod changed his bite, and he decided he had to help the boy, so he grabbed the collar of the boy's shirt with his teeth, and as best he could, he dragged him out into the water, keeping the little boy's head above it, and he could see the wild dogs pacing back and forth along the top of the bank, and he knew he couldn't bring the boy back there. The leader might be thinking it was a good idea to jump in after him, but the wild dog had no interest in going for a swim, even for the boy. So Ichabod swam furiously, his teeth gripped tightly about the boy's shirt, and they moved out into the sea. He hoped that he could move around the island to a place where the wild dogs wouldn't get them, and the boy would wake up. He could hear him breathing. He was alive. He just wasn't awake. Ichabod swam furiously as long as he could, and the boy continued to sleep. At about this time, two men in a canoe were paddling around the island and saw something in the water and came over and saw a small dog and a little boy in its grip. And they made sounds and noises, as far as Ichabod could tell, and stopped. And then they pulled the boy into the canoe, and they reached down and they pulled Ichabod with him. And Ichabod heard them say, "Oh, that little boy's all right. He's breathing, but we better get him back to the village." And the boy stayed asleep, and the men paddled across the inlet over to the village, where people on shore who saw them coming waved and met them at the beach. They gathered around the little boy, they took him to his house, and Ichabod followed, but nobody paid attention to Ichabod. The little boy's mother was very concerned. They put the boy in bed. There was a lot of murmuring among the adults, and Ichabod, who was watching, saw the father talking to the two canoers who had saved the little boy, and they were shaking their head. They didn't know what had happened, and the father was talking to them intently. "Are they sure?" And finally, one of the canoers looked up and pointed directly out at the window at Ichabod, who was looking through the windows at them and was nodding at Ichabod and saying some things. And the father looked at Ichabod and said something to the mother. And the mother showed him the shirt with the bite marks in it and the pants with the bite marks in it. And they pointed out the little boy's ankle, where you could see just a little nip where Ichabod had bitten the boy to get a hold of him so he could help him escape the wild dogs. And the mother and father had serious looks, and they talked, and they both looked at Ichabod. And Ichabod had the sense they did not know what had happened. They did not understand that the wild dogs had been about to attack, eight of them coming from every side, and there was no choice. Ichabod saw the father nod to himself, and Ichabod thought, "The father is unhappy with Ichabod." It was then the father came out of the house with a big stick and called Ichabod's name. And Ichabod knew he may have saved the boy from the wild dogs, but the mother and father thought he was responsible for pushing the boy in the water for no reason. And not only had he pushed him in the water, but he had bit him. Ichabod didn't want to be beaten by the stick, and so he hid, and he thought, and he hoped that the boy would wake up and tell him what he remembered, how Ichabod had helped, not hurt. But after a day, the boy was still asleep, and Ichabod decided, because he was getting hungry, that he had to go away. He knew that the boy would wake up soon, and when the boy did wake up, he would tell his parents a story, and they might look for Ichabod, but Ichabod wouldn't be there. And so off he goes into the countryside, looking for another village. And eventually, after a few days, Ichabod finds one. And he wanders around, and he sees a small house with a basement. And the basement door has a little gap in it. And so Ichabod decided, because it was cold and rainy that day, that he'd go in there and wait. And so he does, and he hears above in the kitchen another little boy talking. And he hears, in the basement, a slithering sound. And Ichabod knows what that is. And so he stays on the other side of the basement, and whenever the slithering sound comes closer, he growls. And one time, the door opened at the top of the stairs, and Ichabod hears another little boy step down on the steps, and he hears the slithering sound of the snake. And he knows the snake wants to eat the little boy, and so he prepares himself. Over time, although he gets used to the sound of the family above, and he knows where the snake is, he waits. "There will come a time," Ichabod thinks, "I may have to help this little boy." and so he hides behind a chair until the time is right, until the snake attacks the boy. Earl has heard this whole story in his head. Next, Ichabod. And then Earl understood exactly what happened to this little dog. And as he thought about that, Ichabod gets up and does one of his little tricks. The little Earl laughs. He thought it was funny because Ichabod had written out in the sand right in front of him his name, Ichabod. And Earl knew that was the dog's name and that they would be friends for a long time.